It's good to see so many people. My talk this morning, Enjoying the Son of God. I think we all have this opportunity, we can do this. And it's a refreshing time, refocusing time, and a renewing time. And what I'd like to do is ask you to turn in your Bibles this morning. I want to offer prayer first, then we'll proceed. Our God and our Fathers, we come to you this Sabbath day. The sun is shining outside and it's so beautiful. And we see the fall, the seasons that you've given us here, and we thank you for that. Possible to see the coolness of the weather now. We've had some heat and this summer's been dry in a lot of places, and there's not much food and corn for a lot of places, but we know that you're still in total control of what's happening. You let the rain fall on the good and the bad. No matter what, you're good to us all, and we thank you for that, is my prayer this morning. Amen. I'd like you to start with John 10, 14 and 15. About enjoying the Son of God is what we're going to talk about today. So turn with me. If your fingers are like me, they don't walk like they used to, but as the phone company used to say. What I want to talk about this week is a little bit about Jesus' personal touches. And he's so good to us. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known my name. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for my sheep. I'd like to read the next portion too. And other sheep I have which are not in the fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd. Most of you probably have seen shepherds out in the field and in the hilltops or places. I know we've seen it in India, but when they got ready to take the sheep out into the field, the man went before. And in Jesus' time, it was the same thing. And when you have many sheep, now all going down the street at the same time, the sheep know their master's voice, no matter where it is. And that's the way it is. Each member here, the reason you're here, because you know the master's voice, and it's nothing new to you. And you've heard that so many times. Have you ever blown it sometime in your life? Do you think you won't welcome you back? Jesus never gives up on you or me. Whom can you trust? There is only one who can back up his claims, the Good Shepherd, Jesus. John catches the honest and tender words of his Savior, who knows and loves us. Jesus accepts us as the sheep of his flock, always nurturing us with his firm voice, his gentle hand, but ultimately he is to lay down his life for us. Instead of us trying to get something from us, Jesus gives himself. So that's a great thought. Jesus is giving himself. Jesus gives himself away to bring us to God. He chooses to give up his authority to make us right with God. That's a voice I can trust always. How about you? Will you follow the Good Shepherd who knows and loves you? Can get you safely to the other side? Listen to his calling. And I think that's each one of us. We hear a different calling. We go different ways, but we're all sheep. And when he calls, we're ready to come. When our disappointments become our center focus, we miss lots of details around us. You might not notice other people. If you ever don't notice people, you might not realize that the Lord is there with them. I'd like you to open your Bibles to Luke 15, 11. The young man, today's story, we are interested in. We're going to talk about the father of the prodigal son. And what happened? In this story, we see that the father is being pressured by the son. He thought of the life would be more exciting if his father was dead. In the culture of the day, it was insult to ask for an inheritance. What would you think if your child come to you and wanted your inheritance? What would you do? The same thing as this story of this man. He wanted an inheritance right now. He didn't want to wait until he got old or anything. He was focusing on other things. But the father we find is a very unusual father. And the most reasonable opinion for us is it's an unreasonable child. But Jesus is making a point that parallels our Father in heaven. Here we find lavish love for us. The Father knows that the Son is lost, and He watches and prays His return. This is the Father in heaven that we're talking about. Jesus told this story about His Father. His Father gave up everything, even His Son, so that He might return to Him. Our Father is overjoyed to the point of being utterly undignified. Have you ever had a father that's undignified? He's so glad to see you come home. And that's the way this father was in this story. And you can imagine when he sees his son coming down the road. The story tells us that he got his coat off and put it around his son. He was so overjoyed, so concerned to see the son and welcome him back. And that's the way he is with each one of us. He's ready to welcome us back. Do you think when he sees his son coming down the road, sometimes we, as church members, we look at each other and we don't hardly say a thing to the people we're in contact with. But here we see this father. He's so undignified. When that son comes, he comes running. You can imagine he's putting his arms around that son and so glad to see him back. And the son, as you read the story, had quite a story to tell about everything that he knew he didn't belong. But the father didn't even want to listen to any of that. And that's the way our Heavenly Father is with us. He welcomes us back with open arms. There's a saying that some people are so heavenly minded that they are no earthly good. And we find this with the Pharisees in Jesus' time, as they were so interested in the Sabbath and so interested in doing these things that they had become no earthly good to anybody around them. And they worried about their righteousness and their standing with God. But we have a story in Luke 13, 10 and 12. I'd like to have you turn that. In the teaching on the Sabbath, Jesus made it clear that he was available for doing good. Our Lord was interested in bringing hope to God's kingdom, in which all will have full life forever. Here we find Jesus explaining to this woman. In a calm and gentle voice, he calls the woman to him. As he's watching in the synagogue, we see here that he sees this woman. Nobody else seen this woman. The Pharisees hadn't seen this woman, didn't recognize her. And she had had these infirmities for 18 years. I remember, probably some of you have seen somebody like that. I remember a lady in Baguio when we used to live there, and she was this way. She was just completely bent over from the waist forward, so she could only see her shoes as she's walking. She had a stick to hold her up, and she tried to stand up, she'd go up the stick. And we find in this story, this is this woman here. And she's so bent over, and God, Jesus, comes to him, and it says he takes his hands and lifts her up and brings her upright. And here we find Jesus touching again his hands and picking this woman up and tenderly loosed her infirmities. And at once she was healed. And she began praising God. And then we read also what the Pharisees thought of this time. They was worried about something else. Here Jesus had done something else and had healed this woman on the Sabbath. There are all kinds of people competing for your friendship and business, and others with commercials and everything promise you everything. Politicians have got a tremendous line. They can promise you anything. A radio pastor claims the end was near and said that everyone should follow him. I remember reading that on Khrushchev. He said, politicians can build bridges any place, even where no water exists. And that's what happens many times. We hear the sounds of the world out there promising you all kinds of things. And there's only one place we can get peace of mind, and that is only through the shepherd. That's Jesus. Mark 7 is another one I'd like to turn to. These are little stories in different parts of the Bible that where we're showing Jesus touching people and taking care of their infirmities. Mark 7, 31 and 37. And again, he departed from the coast of Tyre and Sidon. If any of you have been there, there might be a few people who have been that part of the world. It is beautiful, the water, to look down on the sea there, and it's so beautiful. And here we find Jesus is there at this time. And as he's reading through further down there, you'll find that a deaf man and a mute man was brought to Jesus. And the disciples and the people wanted Jesus to lay hands on him, to heal this man. But Jesus does something different, and that's one thing. Jesus has a million ways to come and touch us. Here we find that Jesus takes the man aside. He can't hear, he can't speak. And I can see Jesus walk up to the man, put his arm around him, and point you and me over there. So Jesus took him for a small step or two away from the crowd. And what do we hear? He says, Jesus sticks his fingers in the man's ears. It's very unusual. Then he spits on his finger and touches a man's tongue. And he says, let this man hear. It's unusual, but we see Jesus doing this to this man. He took him away from the crowd a bit, and to see something different. I can imagine the whole crowd is watching. You could just see that and feel it. But we find this happen. The love of Jesus is only a touch away, and fellow Christians who minister in his name. His touch can be felt through the prayers of the saints near and far away. His healing can be known in friends who are only a phone call away. Do you need God's touch today? Let's turn to Matthew 8:1, another one. When he was come down from the mountains, great multitudes followed him. So we find here a huge multitude. Behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Here we find Jesus put forth his hand and toucheth him, saying, I will, be thou clean. As we've read so many times in the Bible, when you touched a leper, you had to be unclean for 7 days and go away and then have to be ministered to the priest. But here we find Jesus touched this man and he cleansed him. And Jesus said unto him, tell no man. See, he didn't need to worry about the disease himself. Jesus didn't. But he touched this man, this leper. He did a no-no of the day. Also, Matthew 8:14 and 15. And when Jesus was come to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her. John 11:1-5 I got here. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, and Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. Kind of, we'll go skimming through this a little bit. Here we find Jesus clarifying where he's at. And as you remember the story, Lazarus and Mary and Martha were Jesus' very good friends. And then we find later on in the story here, after getting down, and when Jesus heard that he was sick and to death, he said, for the glory of God it was done. And being your good friend, I know Jesus missed him and longed for him. And kind of going down through this, we find that Jesus finally waylaid for a few days. But then now we find him coming as he told the disciples it was time to go, that Lazarus was really dead. And here we find Martha as they're nearing the town. They're still a ways away. And Martha heard that Jesus was coming. Verse 19, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them in concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him. And this is down the road a ways. If you was a family member, could see this happening, you see Martha coming, do you think she was just going? I picture Martha running, and I picture her putting her arms around Jesus, and Jesus putting his arms around Martha. And then she cries on his shoulder. She said, you know, if you'd only been here, my brother would be alive. And I can just picture this, Jesus holding her as she's probably sobbing, and they're walking towards the town now. And then we find that they see Mary up and leaving, and so they follow Mary to see what's happening. And as they're getting closer, then they get there. And then finally Jesus says to her, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha, she had faith, but in reading through the story, she knew it would happen, but she didn't think it would happen right then. And as we go on through the story, we find that they finally get to the tomb, and they go to the tomb. And Jesus asks them to roll the tomb away, and people objected because it's been 4 days. But Jesus says, please roll it away. They rolled it away, and Jesus calls him from the dead. Lazarus comes out, and he says, please take the grave cloths off of his body. And here again, we find Lazarus is a very, very close friend of Jesus. Jesus always used to stop and see him and Mary and all of them because they were such good friends. And you could see, I can see pictured in my mind, as he comes forth, they unwrap him. They look into each other's eyes as this is happening. And do you think they just stood there? I picture them embracing each other, giving themselves a hug. And it was a big deal to hear the first time that Jesus' closest friend, he said, Lazarus, come forth. Because I think he had to specify Lazarus. Because if he had said, come forth, everyone would have come forth. But we find that they touched and held each other. I'm sure they did. It doesn't say that he did, but can you imagine? You wouldn't just stand there by the gravesite doing nothing. This was your favorite brother. And I see that happening. Matthew 14, 23 to 31. And when he had sent the multitude away, this is after they had a tough day on the beach, you might say. And he sends the multitude away. He goes up on the mountain to pray. And as he's up there praying, he asks the disciples to go across to the other side. I remember Gladys and I, just a little bit before we left Majuro, the moon come up. The sea was just glass. And it looked like that moonbeam was a mile wide, and it was just as shiny. You could see the fish jump. We've seen it both in Chuuk and in Majuro, and it's just crystal clear. I can picture the disciples getting in their boat and heading across the sea. And in the middle of the sea, I know when we've seen that the ocean can come up quick, and we had 14-foot waves in just a little bit. And this is what the story of the disciples. They got part way out. The storm comes up. They're fearful for their life. Jesus is on the mountain. He sees the predicament that they're in. So he comes to them. And can you imagine you're in a boat going up and down and you see this man walking on the water? What would you do as a member? Would you be frightened just like the disciples? They couldn't comprehend this man walking. So we find Peter bids Jesus, and Jesus says, come. But we find Peter lost confidence. Maybe he was looking around at several versions of what he did. He starts to sink. We find Jesus reaches down, takes him by the hand, and lifts him up. And that's the way he will do with each one of us. Anytime we only ask, hold up our hand, say a small prayer. John 13:4-6. It's actually the story of Mary and what she had done. And it's kind of touching the opposite way. Here we find Jesus sitting at the feast with a leper, Simon. And Mary comes in and breaks this bottle of ointment, pours it on his head, and pours it on his feet. She wipes his feet with her hair. And then, you know, then the politicians get worried there because they see all this money going to waste. And that's one thing that Jesus said. This story will be told forever and ever about where I am. So this was an opposite touching. This is a member that touched Jesus. But we can see each one of us like that. And we need to do that as church members. Don't be afraid to touch or give somebody a hug or a phone call of encouragement. You think you're alone? You're not alone. We're all built the same. And I can tell from my experience that I know the last time I got hurt in Pohnpei, 4 people laid by my bed on the floor because my bed was only like this. But I can remember, even being unconscious, somebody rubbing me all the time, all night. These ladies, rub your legs, rub your head. I knew somebody cared. And that's the way it is with each one of us. We need to care about the people around us. How about you? The light of the world has come. The timing was perfect for all of us. He's come to save us from ourselves. He shows us a life that brings us into the family of God. He promises to shine the light into our lives. Shine, Jesus, shine. And that's what I feel. And I talk with Wendell, and I would like to hear from 3 of the church members here of their life story and where Jesus touched them and changed their life. So October, the first week in October. Before then, I'm going to come and see somebody here. And I want you to spend about 10 minutes up here telling where and what God has done for each one of you. For each of you, God has done something special for each one of you. If you stop and think, and you'll realize that you're so important. Just remember, you're only a prayer away from God if you'll only look up to Him.
Our God, as we come to you
now at the closing of this service, we thank you for these few opportunities that we can meet people in the church, outside the church, and we can be more like you, be willing. You've come to die for us, and you're our shepherd. And we in turn must be shepherds to those we come in contact and those we associate with, Lord, and give us that ability that we will say the words that will be manifested through us about you, is my prayer. Be with us this week and give us strength to be like you, is my prayer. Amen.